Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today. Another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with you, our listener, in mind. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. And I pray that that's your source of authority also. As we face the issues, let me remind us, the Bible says, Jesus speaking to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. It's the truth of the Word of God. And we know that's the truth that Jesus is speaking of, because in John 17:17, Jesus makes a declaratory statement where he says, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we face issues, let me remind us to face them based on the authority of Scripture. It's called having a biblical worldview, where we'll look at what God says in God's word for the pattern for our living and the roadmap for our life, that we might please him and all that's said and done. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture, not some biblical, some political, ideological position or bent, not based on some religious dogma with the rites, rituals, rules, and regulations attached thereto, but simply the clear teaching of the Word of God. I'm always appalled by those that say, well, I need to know what to do in life, but never read the Bible, never study the Scripture, never seek God's plan for their life and living. It's a quagmire of mistakes each day as a result of that, rather than just simply reading, adhering to, and believing what God's Word says. We're to hear and heed the Word of God. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, there's a text that I will read for us in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and following. Hear, Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy home, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. It is called in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, the 4th through the 7th verse, it's the Shema. That is the instructions that's given for what we do with the Word of God. We're to hide it in our heart. We're to teach it to our sons and daughters, and for them to teach it to theirs. That's the pattern that God's given us. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues today in this broadcast, let me remind you, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to start your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for homeowners like Honda and Echo. They also carry all of the hurricane preparedness equipment, hurricane cleanup equipment. They have a full line of Honda generators, and they have a full team of staff members that are knowledgeable on how to answer your questions regarding all of the equipment that is sold. Tools for Time carries a full line of these equipments for your benefit and use. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. You look up and see that gigantic flagpole with Old Glory flying. At the base of that flagpole is Tools for Time. Look them up, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about a subject today that I believe we ought to look at and analyze and determine what we're going to do in relationship to our religious liberties and freedom therein. Multitudes today do not recognize and realize what we have in our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, and in our Bible, the Word of God. When I talk about the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, I'm not talking about in any way alleviating our responsibility to see what God's Word says, but I'm thankful that we had our founding fathers, that basically what we have in our founding documents is an outgrowth of their love for the Lord, their understanding of the Scripture, and the commingling of Scripture with what they're saying for us in those founding documents, and I'm thankful for that. Ladies and gentlemen, multitudes of Christian parents today, as well as students, believe that it's illegal to take your Bible to public school. We're talking about today, celebrate truth, take your Bible to school. Celebrate truth, take your Bible to school. Never will forget many years ago when our four sons were growing up. Some of their academic years were in public schools. Many of those years were in homeschool and private Christian schools, as they were trained in the academics as well as the biblical truth. But I always tell them, when you go into the classroom, when you walk down the hallways, when they were in public school system, this is many years ago, put your Bible on the very top of your books. Don't be ashamed for your Bible to be seen. Don't be ashamed for other students to recognize and know that you love the Lord and you carry His Word with you. But ladies and gentlemen, we live in a society today where parents and students believe that it's illegal to take your Bible to public schools. I want you to understand it's not illegal. Yet, most believers today are fearful of being called names or in some way scorned if they indicate their spirituality. There's a fear that's been built into our sons and our daughters that if you take the Bible to school, if others know that you love the Lord and you're serving the Lord, there's a mindset that I'll be called a goody-goody-two-shoes. I'll be made fun of, laughed at, mocked in some fashion. And so it's intimidated our sons and our daughters and our grandkids so often taking their Bibles to school. They're afraid that somehow, some way, it is illegal, and somehow, some way, they'll be ridiculed or made fun of. Ladies and gentlemen, that's because of the coldness that has been cast upon our schools and our students in our schools, that sense of fear that's placed them in a position that they feel intimidated about taking their Bibles to school or saying anything about prayer in the classroom or reading the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, back when I was growing up, and that wasn't in the 16th century, I want you to know, back when I was growing up and in public schools, we had Bible reading every day in the classroom. The teacher would assign scriptures for us to memorize and stand and repeat the next morning in classroom. We had the opportunity to pray in the classroom. We had the opportunity to pledge the flag in the classroom each morning. And that is almost forgotten and viewed as being insignificant in today's marketplace and that realm of ideas. It's not illegal, yet today most believers are afraid of being called names, etc. Today, we find that the sodomites have come out of the closet, and sadly, Christians have hidden in the closet. Most people, most Americans, they're not knowledgeable of U.S. history. Ladies and gentlemen, our history records that the early public school reading, the reading book, listen, in case you're not aware of this, ladies and gentlemen, the early public schools, the reading book was the Bible. That was the Bible. In fact, Congress had a special printing of the Bibles to be sure that our children could learn and read from the Bible. Our founding fathers and early political leaders welcomed the Bible in the classroom and the reading of the Bible and prayer. Literally, ladies and gentlemen, the reading of the Bible and prayer took place every day in the halls of Congress, in the U.S. Capitol. It was the norm, not just something that was done on occasion. But on June 25th, 1962, ladies and gentlemen, much of that which was the norm then came to a screeching halt. It was Ingalls versus Fattel and the Abington School District versus Shemp. On June 17th, 1963, the Supreme Court declared school-sponsored prayer and Bible reading unconstitutional. You hear that? Since 1962-63, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court, when they determined that Bible and prayer reading in the classroom were unconstitutional, since that time, the present American academics have fallen to the lowest in U.S. history. Today, Johnny can't read. He can't spell. Johnny can't write. Johnny is, for practical purposes, uneducated because Johnny does not know the Word of God. And it's for this reason, ladies and gentlemen, and this reason only, that Johnny knows how to curse, little Johnny knows how to steal, little Johnny knows how to commit adultery, little Johnny knows how to commit all kinds of immorality and immoral acts, little Johnny, ladies and gentlemen, even knows how to kill. And this is the reason we're having so many problems in society today. all because Johnny was not given the proper education with no Bible, no Ten Commandments. Ladies and gentlemen, you can take a person to have all of the PhDs in the world, and if he doesn't know the Word of God, if he doesn't hadn't studied the Word of God, if he's not aware of the Ten Commandments, ladies and gentlemen, he's not a trained person. He's not an educated person. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pass the proposed bill in Tallahassee to put the Bible back into classrooms. It will allow the Bible to be taught on an elective basis, not compulsory, but on an elective basis on any academic category. We're so delighted today, ladies and gentlemen, to have with us for today's broadcast on Let's Face the Issues, Mike Hill. Mike Hill is a Republican representative of the Florida House. He represents the 1st District. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike has a background with the U.S. Air Force. I believe it's about 10 years there. He's a member of the Florida House of Representatives since 2013. He has received a number of achievement medals, a Commendation Medal, the Air Force Organizational Excellence Medal. He is a graduate from the University of West Florida, United States Air Force Academy. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with us today Representative Mike Hill, representing District 1, and may I say, not just District 1, but representing all of Florida. Congressman, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate being on your show and everything that you stand for.
Well, brother, I am so thankful for it. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this, knowing our Congressman Mike Hill, knowing his relationship to Jesus, knowing his stand for the Constitution and our Bill of Rights, knowing his passion for morals and ethics and values in life and living, I am thankful. He's a practicing lawyer by trade, by profession, but has, since 2013, I believe it is, been serving in the Florida House of Representatives, and I am thankful for that. On one of the occasions, he said that he was standing for God and country and for our Constitution and in that order. And I am thankful, Congressman, to have you with us today, and we're going to talk about some of these issues that I believe are so vital and so valuable in the state of Florida and, yea, across the nation today. Tell some of our listeners, tell our listeners today, I've heard you tell it, I've heard you talk about it, and some may recall it from previous times we've had an opportunity to have dialogue and discussion on this broadcast. But tell our listeners why you're willing to serve in the Florida House of Representatives. Why do you surrender your time? Why are you willing to give up family time and professional lifetime to serve in the Florida House? What is your motive? What is your passion?
Well, I'll share with you, Dr. Youngblood, that we live in such a blessed nation. God has indeed shined his grace on this great nation. And I grew up as a child in a part of a military family. My father served in the Air Force. My grandfather served in the Army. As you had mentioned, I served active duty Air Force. So even as growing up, there was always this sense of service to our nation, to this great country. And that was one of the driving forces that had me become an Air Force officer and serve for 10 years. Because of how much I love this great nation and appreciate what we have, the privilege of living here. And so I served in the Air Force. And then when I saw the opportunity to where I could serve not only my nation, but even more locally, the entire state of Florida, when I saw an opportunity to do that, I saw another opportunity to be of service. And so that is why I ran for office, and fortunately I was elected. But the whole idea is to be of service to people here in Florida, keeping in mind of limited government, low taxes, personal freedom, and individual responsibility. That is my mantra of being a servant leader.
Amen. I pray to God that he'll continue to sustain you, use you, and give you wisdom as you service in the Florida House. It is a delight to know that we have men of God as you, and of course there are others, that will take the stand based on the authority of Scripture. Congressman, there are several things that we want to talk about today, but I want us to focus on, for the bulk of our time on the broadcast today, on the value of the Bible and why it is so important for us to have the Bible in the classroom. Last session, you made a statement about the Bible in the classroom, and I have written it down. You made the statement publicly that it's vital that the Bible be taught in the classroom. Why that statement? What do you think is, why is it so vital that we have the Bible where students, young men, young ladies, boys and girls, will have the privilege of studying the Bible and knowing about the Bible in a public school classroom? They will talk about the ins and outs and the those that are against it, those that are for it, and the wherewithal on that. Why do you think it's so important?
Well, number one, Dr. Youngblood, the Bible is full of wisdom. And those who will read the Bible will obtain that wisdom. And we certainly need that in our public schools right now, is wisdom. We need that in our nation. What we are seeing is insanity with this movement of human secularism to where it's a pushback against everything that has to do with Christianity. And as you mentioned in your beginning, in your monologue, a big factor of that is because of the ruling of the Supreme Court that Bibles couldn't be read in the school. That is utter nonsense, utter nonsense. So number one, it brings wisdom to our schools, wisdom to our children who need it so desperately. And then number two, what a lot of people don't understand is the historical significance the Bible has played in the founding of this nation. And I'm not just talking about the Pilgrims and Puritans coming over and wanting religious freedom to worship God in spirit and in truth. That, of course, was a big part of it. But I'm talking about the formation of our Declaration of Independence and of our Constitution. That our Constitution, 34% of it is founded on the Bible. There was a study done by a professor at the University of Houston who said, let's dissect the Constitution and find out where it came from based on the congressional records, based on the records of the discussions that were taking place as they were debating putting our Constitution together and actually putting it together. And they have determined that 34% of it comes directly from the Bible. The Bible is foundational to our nation. It cannot be denied, even though some are trying to. They're trying to rewrite history. It cannot be denied that the Bible is foundational to our nation and what we stand for. And until we get back to that again, we're going to see this continual, gradual slide into more human secularism.
Yes, I'm thankful that you made mention of that. In fact, when we're talking about the Bible, we're talking about God and the need to have God and recognize God as the founder, creator, controller of the universe. And back as you recall, just a few months ago, in fact, very few months ago, one of the congressmen in the U.S. House, a congressman from Tennessee, when talking about swearing in, the oath of swearing in a person that was going to be asked questions as a witness on the subject matter, they refused to do so and mentioning God, so help me God. And so they were questioning that, and he said, well, it's all right to have God in the cathedrals, you can have God in the synagogues, you can have God in the churches, but there's no place for God in the Congress. And that basically has been kind of a very, very clear resounding statement in my ears and thought of what's taking place that is so irrational and so wrong in Washington. And therefore, that goes back to the focus of why we need to put God back on the, as I call it in the secular term, on the front burner. That's the reason he needs to be back in the limelight. That's the reason we need to have the Word of God before us. But when we talk about putting the Bible back in the classroom, multitudes today think that somehow, some way that just simply cannot be done, that it's illegal. But I recall, and I think I have the notes on it, U.S. Supreme Court in 1990 when there was another case dealing with the Bible, said if a state institution such as public schools prohibited religious speech or activities, then it would demonstrate not neutrality but hostility toward religion. And one of the major things that our listeners need to understand is that the courts need to have a position of neutrality and not hostility. And so even when the courts ruled in 1962 and 63 about the Bible and prayer, there's kind of a parenthetical footnote that was on their end of their ruling. That, and I paraphrase, they said something like this: it is not to say that the Bible cannot be taught as history in the classroom. Speak to that issue in relationship to how the Bible would be taught in the state of Florida if this bill is passed and if we can get the Bible back in the classroom. We want to talk about the essence of the bill and what you're doing and the bills that you're sponsoring and where we need to go from there.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, the bill actually doesn't state that it will be taught as a historical document, but it does say that it can be looked at in its historical context.
Yes.
And what it has meant to our nation. And the bill itself says that the Bible will be taught as an elective course. It's not where it is going to be mandatory. It would be something that someone in middle school or high school could sign up for, that they have decided that they want to take this class as an elective and then study the Bible. Well, I've heard some pushback as to, well, what if the person who is teaching it is one, not a Christian, or what if they're teaching the Bible wrong, or what if they're putting the wrong idea about the Bible, they're slandering it, or whatever. And that's not a concern for me for this reason, Dr. Youngblood. First of all, young people are smart, and they can read the Bible themselves. And when you start reading the Bible, the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit will speak to you.
Amen.
And will reveal the truth to you. So it doesn't matter what the teacher says. If the teacher is wrong, the truth is already in that child, and they'll know what that truth is. And so they can either refute it or they can ignore it. And, you know, and simultaneously, Dr. Youngblood, you know this. You've probably been in many churches. There are times when a pastor preaching a sermon teaches the wrong thing about the Bible. They say the wrong thing about the Bible.
That's right.
But that doesn't mean that they do. But sometimes unintentional. I'm not sure if they do it intentionally, but usually it's unintentional. They say something that's inaccurate. But that doesn't mean that the Bible still itself is changed, that the truth that is within the Bible has been compromised at all, because it has not. The truth is always there. So when the course is being taught, the children will get that truth, which will give them wisdom to allow them now to become better citizens here in the U.S. and to make our nation even better.
Yes.
We know, and we have seen, that since they took Bible out of schools, that it's been a horrific spike in terms such as violence that we see in our schools, the sexual immorality that we see in our schools and in our nation. And it was simply because we took wisdom and truth out of our schools.
Yes. In fact, let me say this to our listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking with Representative Mike Hill, Republican from the Florida House of Representatives today. And we're talking specifically about the Bible and the Bible back in the classrooms and the benefit of that. You can call 831-0917, 831-0917. Get your telephone call directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that you might want to ask Congressman Hill a question or a comment in relationship to our communication today. Congressman, I have had the privilege of reviewing and being a pretty in-depth study on the last 40 of the mass shooters, and I find it antithetical to what the fake news is generally saying. Out of the last 40, all of them were on some type of drugs, psychotropic drugs, some that were prescribed by physicians, others might have been marijuana, heroin, et cetera, et cetera. I find that all of them were from broken homes. I find that none of them had a, quote, Christian home setting where the Bible was taught, or where they were in church, where they were being taught the Bible. And so I have come to the conclusion very clearly that we can prevent much of what we find, as you just said a moment ago, much of what we find with the things that are taking place in the world today, in our nation today, in our schools and in our homes today. Much of that can be curtailed, if not completely turned around, if we put the Bible back in the public schools. Tell us about some of the pushback that you're finding in Tallahassee in relationship to your trying to get the Bible bill so that we can pass that for the state of Florida. And also speak to the issue of other states that have passed this kind of legislation and what they have faced and what they're doing.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the bill that I introduced is actually modeled off of the bill in Kentucky, which was signed into law by Governor Matt Bevin. And my understanding is it has not been challenged in court, which is a good thing. So it is still ongoing. The pushback that I'm hearing are from the Democrats, who have said that, well, if you're going to teach the Bible, you must teach other religions also. And that's not true. That's not true at all. There's nowhere that says simply because one faith is being taught that another one must be taught. No. What I suggested to them was, if you want, and they would always mention the Quran or Hinduism or something like that. I said, if you want the Quran to be taught in school as an elected, then you introduce a bill for that and see if it passes or not. But we don't have to demand equal time simply because the Bible is now going to be taught. There is nowhere in our Constitution which demands equality of all religions. It demands freedom of religion. You're able to express your religious belief how you want, but nowhere does it say equality with religions.
That's exactly right. We've got about a minute and a half before the top of the hour break, and then we will complete our dialogue and discussion. But, Congressman, many parents and students even feel that it's illegal for them to take their Bible to school. Is it illegal for a student to take his or her Bible to school?
It is not illegal. You definitely can take your Bible to school. You can read it while you're there in school, and you certainly have the right to do that. There is nothing against the law, nothing against our Constitution, which says you cannot bring your Bible to school and read it. There's nothing to prevent that at all. I was so encouraged, Dr. Youngblood, where I saw, I think it was in Opelika, Alabama, where all the students stood up at a football game in defiance of what the superintendent told them and all recited the Lord's Prayer before the football game started. I was so proud of those young students, and we need to have more demonstrations like that.
Absolutely. I say it's time that Christians stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and stop hiding in the closet. And taking the Bible to public school, taking your Bible to school, ladies and gentlemen, urge your student, if you're saved, love the Lord Jesus, don't be ashamed of it, don't be embarrassed by it, don't be intimidated by it because of it. Take your Bible to school. At your free time, sit there and open your Bible, read your Bible. There's nothing illegal about that, and that shows where you stand. That allows the world to know that you stand for Jesus and you're not ashamed of it. Congressman, we've got 1 minute before our break. And by the way, when we have our news break at the top of the hour, hang on there, and we'll continue our dialogue on the other side of the break. But just speak for just a moment in relationship to some of the things that's taking place in Tallahassee and some of the other issues that you are wanting to see passed and your passion for them. Just give us a little brief overview, and we'll come back to them after the break.
Well, number one on my agenda is to pass the heartbeat bill. And that heartbeat bill essentially says that once a heartbeat has been detected, then that baby cannot be aborted. And the bill also recognizes that life begins at conception. It's a whole new way of looking at it, and I would like to share more about that.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, stick with us for about 1 minute for our top of the news, top of the hour news, and we'll be right back. Complete Let's Face the Issues today.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.